सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च। वी ऑफर आवर होमेज टू यमराज भगवान हु इज द गुरु And he is actually the son of Vivaswan, the son of the sun god, S-U-N. So the Surya Bhagwan, he is the son of that, the Yamraj. And we offer our prostrations to Nachiketa, the ideal student. So, so in this Kathopanishad, which is kind of one of the longer Upanishads, covers a lot more material than other Upanishads, which very cover in brief with lot of, lot of power in those few mantras. Here, the same ideas have been expanded, so makes it easier for us to understand. The other Upanishads are difficult unless they are already advanced. So we are grateful to Nachiketa for giving us this opportunity. So in this Kathopanishad, we have seen that in the last week, we had seen that the individual who is on the spiritual path, he has to have purity of the senses. What it means is that his morality, living a life of morality, honesty, sincerity, truthfulness, that is very important. And secondly, the intellect should have the right wisdom, to have the right knowledge from the scriptures and from the guru. So those two things are necessary. And then the third is the mind should be yukta. Mind should be united. So that means intellect, what instructions the intellect gives, the mind should follow. And one who does not have, the master talked last week, one whose mind is impure, senses are in the wrong direction, life is immoral, intellect does not have the right knowledge, mind is wandering here and there, confused, then such people go through, we had talked about the chariot, which is this body is the chariot, and this life, the ego is the owner. So the ego with that intellect and mind, which is not coordinated, and senses running here and there, the chariot will go downward. Chariot is not going to stay the same. Either you have to go up or you have to go down. If you say that, oh, I just want to be the same and be born as a human, it may not happen. So such people then go birth after birth, and we don't know what birth we will get if that is our life. And then on the other hand, the teacher had told us that one whose intellect is correctly guided, senses are under control, life is with morality, honesty, mind is coordinated with the intellect, not running helter and skelter, and the mind is controlling the senses to go in the right direction. Senses means all 10. 5 sense organs and 5 organs of action. Then such a person, he evolves, and he ultimately his goal is finally he reaches Vishnu Padam, the abode of Bhagwan Vishnu. So one, we have studied Bhagwan Vishnu as the sustainer of the universe, but here he's talking about Bhagwan Vishnu as the all-pervading reality, which is the highest. And then we saw the hierarchy, that the senses are higher than the body. Higher means they control, then the senses are the objects, then the objects are the mind, the intellect, and then we talked about Mahat, the total intellect. The total intellect is what he talked about. So what is this total intellect? And then how does it connect with the highest, the supreme reality? We will see today in mantra number 11. Sharad, you have that? Mahatah paramavyaktam.
Mahat 11?
11. We did up to 10 last week.
Okay. Manasaivedam aptavyam.
Vyaktat purushah parah.
Vyaktat purushah parah.
Purushana paran kinchit.
Purushana parakam chit.
Sakashtha sa paragatihi.
Sakashtha parapapatihi.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Mahatav paramavyaktam vyaktat purushah parah purushana param kinchit sakashtha sa paragatihi. So last week we had studied up to Mahat, which is the total intellect. We'll talk a little more about that today. And beyond Param, Mahatat, Mahatav Param, beyond the Param is Avyaktam, which is the unmanifest. What is unmanifest? We'll study that. And Avyaktat Purushav Para, then the Avyakta, then the unmanifest is the Purusha, the Supreme Brahman, which in previous mantra was called Vishnu Padam. It is the Supreme Abode, Supreme Truth. And how about higher than Purusha? Is anything higher than Purusha? We always want to know who is, if God created the world, who created God? So that is, you ultimately you have to end. You cannot keep going further and further. Children keep on asking. So he says, Purushat na param kinchit. There is nothing higher than Purusha. That is the highest. And Sakashta, that is the highest abode. There is nothing higher than that. And Sa Paragatihi, and that is the supreme abode and the supreme goal. So Gati means the path, and Gati also means the goal. So that is the highest. There is nothing higher than that. So the example they give is of, say, there is a huge tree, you know, like an oak tree or, you know, some kind of peepal tree. Now, how does it start? First, it is unmanifest, right? And then the seed is the unmanifest, the seed. And the seed, of course, again, you can say was created by God, or seed maybe came from a previous, like a mango becomes into a mango seed when you eat the mango. So there is a cycle, seed, mango, but for the example of the tree, the seed is the unmanifest. And then what happens when the right climate and everything is there? Little sprouts come out. So the little sprouts are the Mahat, Mahat, what we call Mahat Tattva. So first is the unmanifest, Avyaktat, and then from that comes Mahat. And what is the source is Purusha, that is the supreme source. Now, this Mahat has two aspects. One is the total mind, another one is the total intellect. Some teachers combine mind and intellect as one. Some people say total mind is ahankara, the total ahankara, not the individual. And the total intellect is the Mahat. It is the combined intellect of all beings together. The total intellect and the total mind, when they are combined, that is called Ahankara and Mahat. Then, what is this entire universe? Entire universe is the tree. You know, in the 15th chapter also, it says Urdhva Mula Madha Shakam. In the 15th chapter, the Mula is above. The root is above. In most of the trees, the roots are below and the tree grows, but in the 15th chapter, it says Bhagwan, who is the supreme Brahman or that supreme Purusha, is the source of that. And the tree comes from above down and spreads out. So, in the classic example, tree emerges from the seed and then spreads out. And what is the factor, the creative factor we have talked about is Maya. Maya or Prakriti, which is the total creative power. And what determines the tree? The total prarabdha. So this entire universe depends on the total prarabdha of each and every one of us. So one is we have our individual prarabdha, and then when people are combined, it becomes the total prarabdha. That's why they say there is prarabdha of an individual, there is prarabdha of a family. There is prarabdha of a community, like what is happening in Gaza. You know, it is so sad, but it's prarabdha of that particular community or that particular nation. You know, sometimes like Hiroshima, Nagasaki was atom bombed by America. So it was the prarabdha of Japan. So then it is the prarabdha of the entire earth, which we see, you know, with global warming, how the earth is going towards destruction. So that is how. So consciousness plus Maya. Consciousness is always with Maya. Consciousness can live without Maya. Maya cannot be without consciousness. Example is like, say, I and my speech. I and my speech are together, but I can live without speech. Speech cannot be without me. So that is how the consciousness and Maya, that is the relationship. And then they say Purusha. What is the meaning of Purusha? One is Purnat iti Purusha. Purnat means that which pervades the entire universe, pervades the entire universe, not only, but goes even beyond. That's why in Purush Suktam they say it goes beyond even the visible and the invisible universe, beyond all the heavens, beyond all the lower worlds, beyond even space. It goes beyond that. That is at the total level. At the individual level, Purusha is said to be Purishayanath. Puri means the city of nine gates. You know, we have nine gates, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth, two ears, and then two below. So nine gates. And the one that pervades, abides, and lives in this and livens it is also called Purusha. So Purusha, one is the supreme Purusha, and one is that same expressing in the individual. Actually, there is only one Purusha. It's not that there is one total and one individual. It is one alone. Like in Mahat, there can be total intellect and individual intellect. But in Purusha, there is only one Purusha, which is just mentioned as all pervading inside and outside. And then they say parakashtha. There is nothing higher than that, and that is the only goal. So goal, when we think, you know, we think it is somewhere I have to go, you know, I will reach. Right now I am not there, but sometime in the future I will reach. And Bhagwan in 15th chapter also says, Yad gatva na nivartante, tad dham paramam mama. Going where one does not return. So, but going is not a physical going, it is knowing. It is knowing which you never come back to the world of ignorance. Once you have understood this truth, and clearly it has become clearly understood by you, then you never come back to this world of ignorance. That means you never go into ignorance, and once you have attained that highest goal, then you are not born again. That also was told in the previous mantra that the ignorant people are born again and again, but the wise person, bhuyo na jayate, again he is not born. So that is this mantra, that it is the right knowledge alone which will take us to that supreme abode, which is beyond all this, beyond the world, mind, intellect, mahat, and even beyond the avyakta. Avyakta is the unmanifest, which you can call Maya or Prakriti. And when enlivened by consciousness, it manifests the world. Jagriti, you have this? We'll do mantra number 12. Esha sarveshu
Esha sarveshu
bhuteshu gudhotmana prakashate
bhuteshu gurotmana prakashate
drishyate tvagraya buddhya.
drishyate tvagraya buddhya
Sukshmaya
sukshmaya sukshmadarshibhih.
you can mute. We'll all chant together, please. Esha sarveshu bhuteshu gudhotmana prakashate drishyate tvagraya buddhya sukshmaya sukshmadarshibhih. So esha. So now here they have, you for Brahman or for Purusha, they have used the word Atma. Atma, Paramatma, Brahman, they are all the same, you know, all pervading Vishnu. So they are all meanings of one. God, you know, Father in heaven, they are all that. So Esha, so this Atma, now they have used the word Atma in this mantra, Esha Atma, this Atma. Atma comes in the second line, but Esha means this Atma. Where is it? Sarveshu Bhuteshu, in all beings. It is, as we know, you know, this one Atma, one. You say, you know, Meri Atma, Teri Atma, My Atma, Your Atma. When you say My Atma or Your Atma, you are referring to the Jivatma. The Jivatma that goes from one life to another. You know, the Jivatma is the mind, intellect, propelled by vasanas. It goes, and by karmas, it goes after this life, goes to either heaven or hell, higher or lower worlds, and then continues its journey by taking another body. So Atma, it has to be understood very clearly. When we say my Atma goes, transmigrates, that is Jiva, that is Jivatma. That does that, but the total Atma, the consciousness, when it is referring to Atma, Paramatma, consciousness, Brahman, then that has nowhere to go because that is all pervading and that is only one. So there are not individual Atmas. There is individual Jiva, which is the ego, and there is the total Atma, which is all pervading. So one that has to be very clear because people get confused in this. You know, they say, what is the, which Atma goes, which Atma doesn't go. Actually, the word Atma, it doesn't go anywhere. For the one that goes, you can call it Jiva or Jivatma. So anyway, so this Atma that is all pervading, Sarveshu Bhuteshu, in all beings, serve all beings, and it is Gudha, it is hidden, it is not very manifest. It is like, you know, the seed, and under the seed is the earth, you know, which you can say is the source. That is not visible to us. You know, the seed is not even visible ultimately when the sprout comes out. So Gudha, it is hidden, and na prakashate. Na prakashate means it is not, does not come into our vision, doesn't come into our light. We are not able to see it. Then how are we to know this Atma? You know, because all the mantras say Atma re drashtavya, you know, Shrotavya, all this, it should be known, it should be seen, it should be understood. So how can we see it? Drishyate means not seen as see Atma. How can I know about Atma? So they say, to indeed how? Agraya buddhya, by sharp vision, sharp intellect. Sharp intellect only can know it. One is it should be sharp, and second is it should be sukshma, it should be subtle. And who can know it? Sukshma darshi bihi. So the knowers of truth, who have this subtle vision and sharp vision, they only can know it. So what is subtle and sharp intellect and understanding, and how can I develop it? We'll talk about that. So as we said, there is one Atma in all. In fact, everything is an expression of Atma. It's not that I am separate, that I am there and Atma is there. Atma alone is there in everything. Whatever you see is God alone. You can call it God alone or Atma alone. So everything is God, and that has to become very clear in our mind that whatever I see is God, good, bad, ugly, everything is God. God alone is the essence of it, and then on it there are name and form. That is the variety. Like there is only one gold, and all ornaments are name and form. There is only one mud, all pots are name and form. So there is one Brahman on which all these name and form are superimposed, do not have independent reality. Just as the ornament does not have any independent reality separate from the gold, pot does not have independent reality separate from mud. So you and I do not have independent reality separate from Brahman. Brahman alone is expressing as all of us. And the name and form is just a transactional reality, just like an illusory. It is present, but does not, it's not the absolute reality. So the goal of life is to know my true nature as Brahman, and all the Upanishads lead us to that. So it cannot be directly perceived Atma, it can be understood as I. And they say, but Atma, they say, is covered. You know, how can Atma be covered when it is all pervading everywhere, even beyond the universe, beyond space? So to cover, it has to be bigger. Like if you have a window, if you want to cover the window, the curtain has to be bigger than the window. If the curtain is smaller, it won't cover the window. So same way, how can there be a cover for Atma? Atma is not covered, our vision is obscured. Atma, even though everywhere, we are not able to see that. So that they should, people ask, oh, if there is God, show me where is God. God cannot be seen because God is the seer. That's what we are studying in the Wednesday study group, the seer and seen, Driga Drishya. So God is the seer and everything is the seen. God, you can call Atma, you can call Brahman. And where can I know it? How can I know it? So they say the intellect has to be prepared, prepared intellect. Because using the intellect, you have to go beyond the intellect. See, that is the paradox. You say it is beyond intellect. Yes, intellect cannot know it. Yes. So how can I know it? Using intellect. So using intellect, you know, which intellect cannot know. You know, that's what the idea is. So what happens is when the intellect is sharp and subtle and it is single-pointed and focused, then as we had seen in the earlier mantra, when you choose this exclusively, then the Atma reveals itself. So now let us see what is this subtle and sharp intellect. So first of all, intellect has to understand that Atma is not an object. God is not an object. God cannot be shown in a test tube. So what do I do? So what is a subtle intellect? Subtle intellect is the one that is sattvic. See, we have tamas, rajas, and sattva. So the more your mind is living in sattva at all times, living in purity, right knowledge. And what is sattva? Knowledge and right action. So when my mind is sattvic, kind, compassionate, with doing a lot of good actions, so living and living a life of purity, so that is sattvic. So that is a subtle intellect. And what is a sharp intellect? Which is single-pointed in one direction. So you have to turn your mind. Our mind is multi-focused, running all over. So from running all over, you make it single-pointed by chanting the name of the Lord. That's why japa and upasana is very good. Chanting and doing some pujas and all makes your mind single-pointed, and that single-pointed mind has to be turned inward. And what should the mind think? It is called Brahmakara vritti. So like if we have a pot, you say Ghatakara vritti. If you see a flower, Pushpakara vritti. For Brahman, Brahmakara vritti. Whatever the qualities of Brahman that are mentioned in the Upanishads, we had seen before, na jayate, mriyate, it is never born, it never dies, all pervading. All those qualities we focus on, make the mind single-pointed, not running here and there. And we have to know the terminology, and we have to spend time. People say 1 hour Vedanta lecture is too long, and 2 lectures a day, oh my God, I don't think I can take it. 2 hours we can't do. But if you ask somebody, can you watch a 3 hour movie? Oh yeah, 3 hour movie, I have no problem. Hindi movie with all songs, or a football game, 3.5 hour overtime. People sit with so much, they collect food, beer, chips, and they don't move from there, even to go to the bathroom. That much. But Vedanta class may, we think of all other things except Vedanta. So mind has to be focused, and it has to. And again, the terminology of Vedanta is different. See, worldly terminology is different. Like science has its own, chemistry has its own, biology and all that. So Vedanta terminology has to know, be known, and gradually this Brahman that is hidden below us, in us, hidden, reveals itself. But one has to constantly turn the attention inward and know that. So there's a story. There was this teacher who was teaching, and he had about 20 or 25 students, and it was a small room. And after the class was over, everybody was picking up their shoes just outside. It was a small area. So one guy accidentally pushed another. The other guy called him donkey. Re kya gadha hai tu? Su gadhedo che? You can't even watch. You can't even see. So he comes back to the guru and he says, Guru, look what kind of students you have. I just accidentally pushed him and he called me a donkey. So Brahman, the guru says, last 1 year I have been telling you are Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. That didn't register. But one person called you donkey, you suddenly. So that is our problem, that we focus so much on the world and we do not. So this knowledge has to be cultivated, and one has to slow down the mind and go beyond. So that is the essence of this mantra, that one whose mind is subtle and mind is single-pointed, and who can focus on this, it is known by that. Harsha Ben, you have this? Yachedavang manasi prajna
यच्छेदवाग् मनसि प्राज्ञा
तच्छेदज्ञान तच्छेद तत् यत् तद् यच्छेदज्ञान आत्मनि
तद्यत् तच्छेद्ज्ञान आत्मनि
ज्ञानमात्मनि महति नियच्छेत्।
ज्ञान आत्मनि महति नियश्च
तद्यच्छेत्
नियच्छेत्
या तद्यच्छेत् शांत आत्मनि
तदकाश यच्छेद आत्म तदा यच्छे
तद्यच्छेत् तद्यच्छेत्
यच्छे
शांत
शांत
आत्मनि।
आत्मनि
ओके, यू कैन म्यूट, विल ऑल चैंट टुगेदर। यच्छेद्वाङ् मनसि प्राज्ञ तद्यच्छेत् ज्ञान आत्मनि, ज्ञानमात्मनि महति नियच्छेत् तद्यच्छेत् शांत आत्मनि। सो दिस इज द होल टेक्निक ऑफ मेडिटेशन। सो इट इज ब्रीफली ए वेरी ब्यूटिफुली एक्सप्लेन्ड इन वन मंत्र अबाउट व्हाट इज मेडिटेशन। सो छेद मीन्स टू मर्ज। सो व्हाट यू शुड डू, वांग योर स्पीच। स्पीच मीन्स ऑल द 10 ऑर्गन्स, 5 सेंस ऑर्गन्स, 5 ऑर्गन्स ऑफ एक्शन शुड बी मर्ज्ड वेयर, मनसी इन टू द माइंड। सो इन मेडिटेशन ऑल योर सेंसेस शुड बी कंट्रोल्ड एंड मर्ज्ड इन टू द माइंड। एंड हु कैन डू इट? प्राज्ञ, वन हु हैज द राइट नॉलेज। सो वॉट डज दिस पर्सन डू, ही और शी? देन द माइंड, द सेंसेज इन द माइंड, एंड द माइंड ज्ञान आत्मनि इन द इंटलेक्ट। सो माइंड शुड बी मर्ज इन द इंटलेक्ट, एंड द इंटलेक्ट महति नियच्छेत, इन द टोटल इंटलेक्ट इट शुड बी मर्ज्ड, एंड देन दैट टोटल इंटलेक्ट तच्छेत शांत आत्मनि इन द पीसफुल सेल्फ विच इज द आत्मा। सो हियर द होल टेक्निक ऑफ मेडिटेशन इज गिवन। सो एज वी से, यू नो, फर्स्ट यू सिट डाउन इन द करेक्ट पॉस्चर, क्वाइटन योर माइंड। हाउ डू यू क्वाइटन? डोंट पे अटेंशन टू एनी साउंड्स आउटसाइड, एंड यू शुड नॉट बी चूइंग गम, और यू शुड नॉट बी मूविंग योर हैंड्स और लेग्स। यू शुड स्टे स्टिल। सो द सेंस ऑर्गन्स एंड द ऑर्गन्स ऑफ एक्शन आर नॉट एक्टिव, आई शुड बी क्लोज। देन दे, हाउ शुड दे बी कंट्रोल्ड? दे शुड बी कंट्रोल्ड बाय द माइंड, एंड द माइंड हैज टू बी कंट्रोल्ड बाय द इंटलेक्ट। वॉट इज द इंटलेक्ट? राइट इन द फर्स्ट लाइन इट सेज प्राज्ञ। सो वन इंडिविजुअल हैज टू स्टडी वेदांत। यू कैन नॉट से आई एम जस्ट गोइंग टू सिट डाउन एंड मेडिटेट। What are you going to meditate on? And there are various techniques, you know, breathing and this and that. They all help to quieten the mind, but ultimately the mind has to know, what am I going to think in meditation? So mind, and then so that is number one. The intellect has to be rightly guided. And upasana, and that helps to make the mind single pointed. So sit down systematically and focus. And when they say mind has to be placed in the intellect or merged in the intellect, so it is not like there is a dabba called intellect and there is another dabba called mind where I place the mind in the intellect. It's not like that. It is the mind has to be controlled by the intellect. So when I sit for meditation, the intellect has to tell my mind that for at least for next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you are not going to go anywhere. And if it does, you bring it back. So the intellect has to firmly control the mind. And the mind at that moment should not be thinking of joy, sorrow, what happened, what will happen, past, future, and who did this, who did that. None of that should be there. So the mind is controlled by the intellect, because the subtle can control the gross. The intellect is subtler than the mind. That's why the intellect can, subtler means more pervasive. Like mind can think only what I know. Intellect can even imagine, you know, come up with new ideas, new inventions like that. Then subtler than the intellect is the mahat, is the total intellect. So then I should merge my mind in the total intellect. So what do we mean by merging in the total intellect? The total intellect is called also as Hiranyagarbha, mahat, all those terms. So what it means is that I should not only think about myself, I should think about totality. So in that, when I am in that total, that means I should think about everybody. So that's why they say first you focus the mind and then you expand the mind. You include everybody, that everybody is me. They are all me because we are part of one total intellect. My intellect, your intellect, the dog's intellect, they are all combined as one intellect. So then I have no raga dvesha. I cannot have likes or dislikes. I cannot love somebody and hate somebody. I cannot be partial to my friend and like in a company or in a job, I cannot favor my friend and not favor the other. And the intellect has to be pure. When I'm part of that, because Hiranyagarbha is totally pure, right? It is the total intellect, it is the totality. So that is totally pure. So I have to make my mind pure without likes and dislikes. So first you focus. And then you expand. We talked about that. First, you focus. And we are all part of the same. Like, there are bricks lying around. But once the brick is put in the wall, you build a wall with multiple bricks and you remove one brick, that will weaken the wall. Sooner or later, that weakness will come through. So that brick has to become part of the total. I also have to become. And that's why Hanumanji, when he was asked, "What is your name?" Sita asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "Ramadut main jat matu Janaki." Oh, Mother Janaki, I am Ramadut. I have no name. He doesn't say, "I am Hanuman the Great. I am the one who flew over." You and I would say that. You know what? That whole ocean in one jump I crossed. But he didn't say any of that. He said, "I am Ram's servant. He has sent me here." So that is how you sink your in the totality. Very brief incident I will tell you. Like we say, we are part of Chinmaya Mission. It happened to me, Neeru, me and the children. The children were small. We had gone to Hawaii, to Kauai, the island, and there is a very beautiful Shiva temple there, and that was under construction. And the original Mahatma was a American. He was white, Caucasian. And very evolved soul. He had gone to Sri Lanka and then to Tamil Nadu and studied and come back. Very, very evolved soul. He started this mission and all this. So we just happened to go there and we bowed down to him and he just asked, "Where are you from?" So we said, "We are from California. We belong to Chinmaya Mission." Oh, we just mentioned Chinmaya Mission. His whole face changed. He said, "Oh, Chinmaya Mission, come and sit beside me." So he made us sit in the seat next to him, and then on his dining table, we were served food. He asked all the people, "Oh, these people are from Chinmaya Mission, give them food." And then he asked his assistants to take us around and show that whole complex. So what they are saying is that when you belong to an institution like that, is recognized. Modi also, Modi in India gives a lot of respect. So that is what they're saying, that you sink your mind in that totality. So here you can totality can be a mission, can be a country. And our lineage, our Guru Shishya Parampara, we have to revere that. That we come from this great lineage of all the great rishis, Kashyapa and Valmiki and all of those great rishis, Kapil Muni and all those. So all the great rishis lineage, that's why when they ask what is your gotra, each one of us has a gotra related to a particular rishi. We may not know it, but it was the rishis from them the whole Hindu Sanatan Dharma parampara claim. So that we have to understand. And remember that this Atma is without divisions. See, it is not, that's why they say, na, I am that partless Brahman, that I am not this, Sadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi, na tvam, all this what you see is not Brahman. That one Brahman is partless, appears divided in all of us. We say, "Oh, my life, your life, my consciousness, one." But there is only one consciousness, so that one has to understand, and that is Sat, that is existence, that is the self of all, and it is the one which is expressing. But again, that One is me. See, we should not think that there is some Atma somewhere, right? One day I will come to know, or there is one Brahman somewhere, and one day I will reach Brahman, I will know Brahman, or I will know God, or I will reach God. The divinity is me. It is in me, and I have to understand that I am expressing in all. That until you think God and I are separate, you will not attain that final. God and I are one. Again, does not mean that I am the creator of this whole universe. No, not in that way. But the essence of me and the essence of the entire universe is one. So like waves can say, you know, I'm a small wave, I'm a big wave, but when the wave knows that I am water and this whole ocean is water and all waves are water, then he can say, I alone express as this whole ocean, right? Once the wave knows I am water, then wave can say, I am expressing as this whole ocean because it's water. I am expressing in all the waves. So same way, when you understand you are Atma, again, it does not, people think that, oh, Vedanta gives a lot of arrogance that, oh, I am God. It is not I am God as the creator, but my essence is divinity. And there is only one essence and everybody is God. Everybody is divine. Everybody is Atma. Even the worst criminal, his essence, even the rapist, even the murderer, his essence and my essence are one. And what we do is we focus on the name and form and forget the essence, and we get lost in the name and form. So they gave three examples, you know, Marichi Udak, Raju Sarpa, and Gagan Malan Iva. So Marichi Udak, Udak means sand. On sand, there is this mirage. You know, like when you are going in the desert, say, or in a car or an elephant or a camel, and the sunlight falls on the sand in a particular way, it is so bright, it gives the appearance of water. You think, oh, there is water there, and you run towards it. And a lot of animals like deer and all die because they keep chasing, you know, this mirage of water. So same way, so the mirage is obscuring the sand. Actually, sand alone is there on which the mirage has appeared, but it is our ignorance. But when we go close, you understand it was sand alone expressing as mirage. Then rope and snake example, everybody knows that a rope is there when it is obscured in the darkness. You project a snake upon it, and when you shine a light, then you understand it was rope alone on which the snake was projected. And then the blueness of the sky, you know, actually there is no blueness. Actually, the sky is dark. And then with sunlight, that portion which is illumined by sun, it is illumined. But the sunlight coming to us goes through the atmosphere, which absorbs all the other lights, only allows blue to come through. So we think the blue is covering, but actually there is no blue. There really is no blue, because when you go into space, you see it's all black. There is no blue. It is all. So same way, so the blue or the snake or the mirage, these are all appearances. And my wisdom, with my wisdom, I have to understand. And no matter who says what, my understanding should be so clear. So first they say that if you have any deficiency, you fix it. Like you say, if I have a vitamin D deficiency, I go to the doctor and he says your vitamin D level is low or B12 is low, and then you're getting anemia and all those, then what the doctor will give, medicine, that whatever deficiency you have, that medicine they will give. So similarly, if we have definition of deficiency of shama, dama, uparati, so I have to look within. Do I have control of the mind? Do I have control of the senses? Do I have vairagya? See, vairagya is very difficult because we are so attached. to people or things or possessions or my power or even my intelligence, you know, all those things we get so attached to. So detach and whatever you are deficient in, strengthen that. If I don't have enough mumukshutvam, if I don't have enough desire for liberation, develop that. If I don't have Shraddha, if I don't have faith in the scriptures, develop that. So all these things which are deficient, I have to develop. And then secondly, go to the teacher, get the right knowledge. And once you have that knowledge, then let not anybody disturb you, and not anybody can should take you away. Once you have focused and decided this is my goal of life, then let not any other force in the world change you. And that's what we find all these great Mahatmas, whether Mirabai or look at Tukaram or look at Sant Gyaneshwar, how many problems Narsi Mehta, how many problems they had, Jesus, how many problems he had. Buddha also faced opposition. So, but once we have decided that this is going to be the goal of my life, then no matter who says what, I should not be deviated. They say, even if you have to give up life, like Jesus could have just given, said, okay, I have faith in the emperor and I'm not going to teach this knowledge anymore. They would have spared him. But what a horrible death he had to undergo. So the example they gave is Galileo, you know, in Italy, the church in the 15th century used to believe up to the 15th century that Earth is the center of the universe and all other planets and stars and moon, even the sun revolves around the Earth. So the sun rises in the east, moves across, sets in the west. So Earth was considered the center of the universe. And then there was a scientist called Copernicus who came up with this, and he first propagated that Earth is not the center. The sun is the center of this cosmos, and the Earth revolves around the sun. And the church criticized him like anything, and you know, really treated him very badly. So then he died soon afterwards. Then Galileo was the famous, he then took up these theories of Copernicus and did scientific experiments to prove that they were all right. And the church was so angry with him that they went to the emperor and put him in jail. And for the next 30 years, as long as he lived in jail and died at the age of 85 in jail, but he didn't give up. He said, Earth rotates around the sun. He would not. And after 200 years after he died, then they finally proved all his calculations, theories were correct. So same way you and I, when we are on the spiritual path, it should be clear with the right knowledge, with the right teachings, with the right background, and then let not anybody deviate us from this path. So that is the essence of today's shloka. So we talked about how the hierarchy, you know, that objects, then the mind, the intellect, then the mahat, the total intellect, and then the supreme, and there is nothing beyond that supreme, and how to reach, and that supreme is my ultimate goal, and then how to reach through meditation. So the whole stepwise meditation we covered in brief. That control the senses by the mind by the intellect, and then focus it inward. And you have to have the right knowledge of who is Brahman. You know, people they say, "Oh, meditation is very difficult." Yeah, it is difficult. And people say, "I'll give you some simple ideas. Why you want to do all this? Just do Karma Yoga, and you will get realized." Or do little puja, you will get enlightenment. Or raise your kundalini. So people come with all different ideas, but or like just breathing, you know, you can just breathe and reach. So none of these techniques are good. We are not saying that one shouldn't do Karma Yoga, breathing, puja, you know, all those. But ultimately, without knowledge, if you're sitting, then what am I meditating on? Without that knowledge, your meditation is incomplete. It is. So that is the essence. that have the right knowledge and then use that knowledge to direct the attention of the mind and intellect inward to that Brahman I am. You know, Brahma Tattva Masi Bhavayatmani. Shankaracharya ji says in Vivechudamani that Brahman you are, think about it. And then in this Manobuddhahankar, Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. So any of these mantras you can use, Prata Smarami, all of these mantras take you inward to that Brahman, that is my real nature. So here we'll stop. Next week we have a beautiful mantra that was Vivekananda's favorite mantra. Again, more sadhana is given. How, what sadhanas, what practice we should do. So I'll end here. We did three mantras today. They were a little longer, the discussion. So we didn't do the fourth one. So we have 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to add. Something is not clear.
I have a question, Anil.
Yeah.
So my understanding for the total mind, not the total intellect, like if you look at any particular area, or let's say just for example, Las Vegas, so every mind's desire is those kind of desire why that city exists, all the casinos and stuff.
Right, right.
Where, how does the total total intellect fits into that?
Yeah, total mind and intellect are kind of are together, are one. You can say the total mind, you can say is ahankar. Total intellect is the thinking. So they are actually kind of together, that where that wrong ideas are there, then the wrong activities will happen. So the senses will act, and the mind is like the clerk, you know, like the secretary sitting outside. When the file comes, she takes the paper and gives it to the boss. Or it can be a male secretary and female boss, so we're not saying that. But the point is that the secretary presents to the boss. So the intellect presents whatever comes from the senses. The mind presents what comes from the senses to the intellect. The intellect decides and gives the order. So in a place like Las Vegas, the mind and intellect are both involved in this field itself. So that's why even the city council, and they all think in that way, and all activities happen according to. But then even in Las Vegas, there are temples, there are churches, and there are wise people are there, with though are a minority, they are rare. But yeah, that is true. So that's why the company is important. You know, again, even in Las Vegas, you could be practicing this knowledge. And in fact, when Kusum was there in Las Vegas, she used to invite Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, to come to Las Vegas. In fact, we have taken Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, from here in Ravi and Nana's plane. We took Guruji to Las Vegas. So he has gone there too. So there are, but yeah, you're right. That's together, mind and intellect. Mind is called ahankar, total intellect is called mahat. These are just terms, but there's no separation between the two. Yeah, answer your question. Yeah. Sharad, you have question?
I was just going to ask, you've mentioned before that whatever knowledge that we are learning, not external knowledge in terms of sciences, but this Vedantic knowledge, goes on to our next life. How likely is it to be placed in the same type of organization or Vedantic group versus, let's say, you know, Buddhism or Jainism versus Hinduism, you know, because obviously, we don't want to change tracks too much. And just like we don't want to change, for example, if we have a Ishtadevta or if we have a mantra, we don't want to oscillate back and forth. So just for the next lifetime. Thank you.
I think it depends how strong a desire you have. Now, if you have a strong desire and if you are very attached to one particular Ishtadevta, that Devata will find you, even in the next life. You may be born, you know, in a different country, different community, different nationality, but that particular, say, Lord Shiva or Krishna or whoever, you will find yourself, even though your family deity may be somebody else. But as you grow, your mind will automatically move towards that particular devta. That is number one. Same thing, the knowledge. But again, yeah, most likely if you have that much strong desire to learn Vedanta, to know Vedanta, there is a good possibility. But if you have a very strong spiritual background and say, you may even go towards Buddhism. There's nothing wrong with that, because wherever you are, you will evolve very fast if you have progressed spiritually a lot. But generally, yes, if your desire or vasana is very strong for that one particular, then yes, your subtle body will be directed based on. So that's why they say, now, what is your vasana? Vasana doesn't only mean bad. But even if you have a strong vasana, like if you have a strong desire to drink and you couldn't drink in this life, you know, then your next life you will be born as an alcoholic. Or if you wanted to become a dancer, Bharatanatyam dancer, right? Yeah, so it's better not to have such desires. Why would you want have such best desire is I want to know God and I want to know in this life itself. That has to be. And all other desires are secondary. Like at one time, I used to think I want to be a woman because women are more evolved than men. And then some Mahatma told me, and I understood, this is all body. How does it matter, you know, whether you have a woman's body or a man's body? More important is, what are your ideas? What are your thoughts? What are your concepts? So develop a very strong, that's mumukshutvam, you know, tivra. I have a strong desire for liberation. I must have it, and I must have it in this life itself. And then if you don't have it, then the universe will make sure that they create appropriate. And a lot of times such people are very quickly born to the next life. You know, they don't even spend too much time in heaven or hell. If they have progressed so much, then they make very quickly, they put him in a new mother's womb and where he can continue his journey. So again, 100% you may or may not be born in Vedanta, but one must have the very strong desire to know the truth. And that will happen. So that, and that, that's what we are studying, all these, you know, all our study groups and classes, to develop this intense mumukshutva, tivra mumukshutva, intense desire for liberation. And that's that, that and that and that alone I want, nothing else. Yeah, Lata, you have a question?
Yes, I do. In the shloka number 10, at the end, there are a couple of paragraphs. And what it says is, the total intellect, and that one example is given is this gentleman wants strong desire to go to see the movie.
Right, right.
What the next sentence is what is confusing me. In fact, none of us can independently feel or think. We each of us live every moment of our life influenced by others. And if we be true in our own convictions and noble in our values of life, we shall be to that degree influencing the total.
Right.
So
right.
I have a question here. If the total intellect includes those evolved souls, why that influence is not on all of us?
Well,
it there? And yeah. Is that why we are...
Right.
Where we are at.
Right. Because one Mahatma, Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, Puja Gurudev, decided to leave his master's, you know, kutia. And he said, I want to go and spread this knowledge in the world. So that's why so many of us are following Chinmaya mission. So many Buddhists are following what Buddha said. You know, so many Christians are following. Again, then, what happens is with time, the teachings get corrupted. You know, Buddha, Jesus never said, you know, go and convert people forcibly. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And when he said, those who don't come to me will go to hell, he didn't mean that those who don't become Christian will go to hell. What values that Jesus represented, love, kindness, those who don't practice the values I practice will go to hell. But then these Mahatmas come, but then the number is so huge that whatever effect they have, I think that, you know, that the world is, the Kali Yuga is ending now. Kali Yuga is going to start ending and Satyug will start growing. So things will get better. So I think things are on the right path. And this world always had violence. Even in Sri Krishna's time, there was Mahabharata. Even Ram's time, there was, you know, all these demons and all that. So what I have to do is look where I am. See, sort of worrying about what others are doing, why they are doing, why they are not doing. What am I doing with my life? I have this knowledge. I have this guru, Swami Chinmayananda, who has given me. Let me just apply it. So I have to look more at myself and how the total influences me by, again, with this company. If you socialize with good people, you will... go to Vedanta class. If you socialize with gamblers, you will go to Las Vegas, as Sujata was saying. If you socialize with drunkards, you will go to the bar. So that's how the total influences one, or one can influence the total.
You know, there's even an expression that I've learned. I don't know if anybody else heard of it. Orca pod, you know, like orca whales, they run together. Orca pods or soul pods. And I don't know, I feel like, well, I've heard we bring each other and attract each other back into our future lifetimes, you know. So.
True, yeah. So I think we'll end here. The time is up. We can continue next week. And the next shloka is a beautiful shloka, which has the sadhana, how to do sadhana, explained very nicely. And as we mentioned, Vivekananda has taken that mantra and made it his motto. So we'll do that next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.